Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for this time of worship, and Lord, how great a debtor we really are to your grace. Lord, may it bind our very heart to you. May we keep our sight, Lord, upon you and the heavenly things. Lord, may our lives truly be a monument of worship to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 3. This morning we're looking at our place of citizenship. Citizenship should have its privileges, shouldn't it? And we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And that's what we're going to study and read about this morning. Philippians chapter 3. And it says, brethren, join in following my example. Let's stop there just for a moment and ask ourselves the question, can others follow our example? Can others follow our example on how we live for Christ? Can we tell our children and grandchildren, watch me, because I'm following Jesus, and you can follow my example on how to love Jesus and how to live for Jesus? Can we tell our new church members this, those who are new in Christ, babes in Christ, can the older church members say, you can follow my example? You can follow my example on how I serve. You can follow my example how I attend. You can follow my example how I tithe my whole income. You can follow my example on how to be a Christian, how to be a witness, and how to love one another. Can we do that? Tell others, like the Apostle Paul, follow my example. Imitate me on following Jesus. And let's read on in verse 17. And note those who so walk. In other words, look at the mature Christians. Their example, those who walk and follow Jesus. Those who have not only faithful for a short while, but ever since they've came to Christ, they have been faithful, committed, or they have renewed their relationship with Jesus. And ever since then, they've been faithful. They've been committed to following Jesus Christ. And note those. May they be your heroes, you know, as they follow Jesus and serve Him. So note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. You know, can others look at you as a pattern to be a Christian? When I was growing up, my great-grandmother, Ma Wyndham, lived in a dog trot house with those high ceilings. And every week, the ladies of the church would meet at her house, and she had something up in that ceiling in the living room, and she would bring that down. You know what it was? It was something that held a quilt together. And they had they were beautiful patterns that they would make those quilts with. And is your life a beautiful pattern like that? Those patterns for those quilts, is it a beautiful pattern? Maybe on the bad days of life and the good days, but yet your pattern is after Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful pattern. And may when we come together as a church, may we all be a beautiful quilt that's been put together, beautiful, because we reflect the light of Jesus in our hearts and lives and the way we live. A pattern. It's like a good template in woodworking. If you have a good template and you can draw around that template and you can cut it out. And are we those type of patterns for Jesus Christ? Because our citizenship is in His kingdom as born-again believers. So are we imitating Him? You have us for a pattern, he says. For many, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping. He's grieving over others that is not following Jesus Christ. You see, we need to be careful who our heroes are. We need to be careful who, you know, we say, you know, I admire them, or I'm proud of them, or look at them, just because they have a good job or have a lot of money, or they got a lot of money in the bank, or they're good sports figures, or whatever it may be. We need, as God's people, say, look at that one who is sacrificing for Jesus. Look at that one who's imitating Jesus. Look at him or her whose life is about following Jesus. You see, we need to be careful as God's people and say, imitate them because they're following Jesus. We need to be careful. And this is something that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing this, it was something that I'm sure he tossed and turned at night about. He was grieving over it. He was weeping because he says that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. An enemy. We're fixing to read about being an enemy of the cross of Christ, but to be an enemy of the cross of Christ would be something that would belittle the cross of Christ. A person who belittles the very cross that the Savior of mankind, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, died and shed His blood upon so that we might be saved. To belittle an enemy of the cross, an enemy of the cross is to teach or believe righteousness apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You're an enemy of the cross if you believe there's righteousness apart from the blood of Jesus. Be careful. Be careful who you imitate. He says they're enemies of the cross of Christ, and we're fixing to see some characteristics. You see, their citizenship is not in the kingdom of the dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're citizens of the earthly things. It says, verse 19, whose end is destruction. You see, there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end, it's destruction. And it's destruction. Without Christ, there's a place called hell. And it's eternity apart from the love of God, and hell will even be cast into the lake of fire. The end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. Another characteristic is that they worship their bodily desires, everything that is fleshly. That's their desire, and they worship it even, instead of worshiping Christ and the things of God. Their earthly and bodily desires, they actually worship. It's their God. Also, another characteristic, verse 19, and whose glory is in their shame. In other words, they brag about things that they should literally be ashamed about. Brag about. Shameful things, and they're proud. They glory in things that they should be ashamed of. And we read on, who set their mind on earthly things. Their thoughts are on the temporary and not on the heavenly. The things that are just will not last. And it may be, again, you know, covetousness or the love of money, or the love of sinful pleasures. And they set their mind, their affection is on just earthly things instead of on the heavenly. Now that's being a citizen of the wrong kingdom. But see, we can be citizens of the heavenly. Let's read on about that. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Now, I'm American. I'm a citizen. I'm an American citizen. And I've had the privilege of being born here. My ancestry, the Evans ancestry, my family's been traced back all the way to the early 1700s. Something, my heritage. Something that, you know, I'm an American. I've been born here. Others of you have worked hard, and you may be the first-time citizen here. Or maybe your parents came over here. Whatever it may be. To be a citizen, you know, I had the privilege of being born here. By the grace of God, I'm American. To live in the free, the land of the free, the home of the brave. Okay? But you know what? Being born American doesn't save me. To be a citizen of heaven, you must be born into that. Just like I'm born American, you must be born to be a citizen of heaven. How do we do that? Jesus says it's not by the flesh, but it's by the Spirit. And that we must be born again. How are we born again? Into being a citizen of the heavenly. To be born again is to simply believe God's word that first of all, you're a sinner. And that we need saving from sin, so we turn from sin and we turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and we place our faith and trust and hope and any hope of any righteousness in His righteousness. We ask Him to save us, to come into our hearts and lives. And the Spirit of God indwells us, and we are born of the Spirit. We are born again, a citizen of the heavenly. Look in verse 9 of this same chapter, chapter 3. It says this, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's all kind of righteousness we want, amen? And we want to be a citizen in heaven, and we must be born again to be a citizen in heaven. And we read on in verse 20, from which also we eagerly wait. We're looking at characteristics now of being a citizen of heaven. We're eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So eagerly waiting. That's like a child eagerly waiting to open up a present. Yesterday, I got to be at my grandson's birthday party. He's 2 years old. Did he know everything that was going on? I didn't think he did. But I tell you what, he had a lot of presents. Great-grandpas were there. Grandpas were there. Grandmothers and friends. And I was watching that little child, and he was opening up a present. And right when he'd get to see it, you know, he was eager to open it. And when he'd get a present, he'd be focusing on that, and then they'd push another one at him. I said, the boy just wants to play with something. Let him play with one of them. I was thinking that. And he was eager to open up a present. And are we that eager? As a child waiting for that present of seeing Jesus face to face? Waiting for His return? The Apostle Paul says that we eagerly wait. I read a story about a doctor that he was performing help on a person in their home, and it was in the old times where they went and did house calls, and his dog would follow him around. And the patient that was terminal said, you know, tell me about heaven. The doctor said, you know, we really don't know too much about heaven. It's beautiful, streets are gold, and gates are made of pearl, but I do know we have that desire to be there. And the patient was still trying to understand, and the doctor's dog was scratching on the door, wanting in. The doctor said, "You know what? You hear my dog outside scratching on the door?" The patient said, "Yes." He said, "You know, that's a lot like how we are. That dog does not know what's all in here. But he knows that I'm here. And he wants in here to be with me." And that's why we're eagerly waiting for, folks, is to be with Jesus. Is your soul, your spirit, just anxious to be with Jesus? Yes, we have his presence with us on the good days and bad days in the wildernesses of life. But are we eager about seeing him face to face? Eagerly waiting for his return. And he says, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You see, we're going to be transformed. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But someday, this old body is going to be transformed also. It's going to be like his body after his resurrection. You know, he could go through doors. He could enter in a room that had been closed off. And yet, Thomas was able to touch the nail prints in his hands and touch his side where he was speared in the side. I do know he ate fish on the seashore too. Amen. Going to be like his glorious body. And he's going to subdue all things. We got church members with cancer. You know, someday he's going to subdue cancer. People with other ailments and problems and diabetes and arthritis and old age. He's going to subdue that. Subdue that. Going to have a new body. You know, I don't want to go right now. You know, there's part of me. I want to see my children and grandchildren grow up. But yet, I've shared this with you before. I know there's something better for me, though. I know there's something better coming. And I'm looking forward to that. He's going to subdue all things and he's going to conquer the last enemy, death. Death. And that's where our citizenship is. And that's what we're going to. So what are we to do? Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore. You know, those therefores in Scripture are important. When you get to a therefore, you got to say, well, what was he talking about? All those things before, therefore. You know, he was talking about rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Be watchful for those false teachers. You know, the Judaizers. And it seemed like the heretics here in this passage was Greek heresies. That, you know, the two main things was immorality. And the love of money. Those who teach you to follow those two things are false teachers. Beware of them. And then he goes on to say, you know, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, and yet that doesn't save me. To be found in the righteousness of Christ, that's where I want to be. So therefore, and in light of all of this, and in light of our citizenship being in heaven, therefore, he says, my beloved and longed for brethren. Let's pause there just for a second. Do you enjoy coming to church? Do you actually enjoy seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ? I do. I enjoy seeing y'all. I really do. He had been apart from them a while, and you know, his soul was longing to be with them, to see them. Just like our soul longs right now for those who've gone on to be with the Lord, there's something about our spirit that says, you know, I'm looking forward someday to seeing them again. Long for, he says. My beloved, my brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. People that he loved so much, he was encouraging them to continue in the faith. Stand fast. Contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Stand fast. A military term to be immovable, unshakable. Be steadfast on following Jesus. Stand fast, putting on the whole armor. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Stand fast in the armor because our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Stand fast in prayer. Stand fast in God's word. Stand fast in being a witness. Why? Because we're just pilgrims passing through this place. We're strangers in this place. Because our citizenship, if you've been born again, your citizenship is in heaven. Our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. That's where our allegiance lies. He's our King, and he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So stand fast. Live for Christ. Don't mind these earthly things. Don't put all your resources in doing the earthly things and in acquiring and putting it up because you can't take it with you. But stand fast for the Lord. Live for him. Stand fast. Amen? We're fixing to have an invitation. And if you're not a citizen of the heavenly, if you hadn't been born again, you can ask Jesus into your heart and life right now where you're at. But Jesus also said, if you won't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. If you'll come forward and make it public, you know what will happen where our citizenship lies? There's joy in the presence of God's angels when one sinner repents. That's what the Word says. Come make it public. Help us to rejoice with you. Allow us to rejoice with you. And follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We're fixing to invite you to respond to that after we pray. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that we have something to look forward to, a blessed hope. And Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our sight on the heavenly things and not on the earthly. Help us, Lord, to pattern after those who are godly and not after the ungodly. And may you have glory in it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.